Well, we're gonna start. Y'all know Paul. He usually does services here in Mervin, so he's gonna start and say a few words, and then I'm gonna say a few words after he does.
Thank you, Ange. Yeah, the Christian Motorcyclist Association generally puts on a service on race day Sundays here at Mervin. However, so it's nice to have a fellow to work with. I was just encouraging Hines a few moments ago to join the Christian Motorcyclist Association. Who knows what's going to happen? Well, first of all, welcome in the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus is big enough so that both Hines and I from different organizations can work together. And the whole idea is to praise Jesus. So, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to take off my hat and we're going to pray, because the scriptures say we should pray with our heads uncovered. So, Father, we bow before you right now and give you thanks for what you've done and what you're already doing. Father, as we pray for you to be honored and glorified by the service of where we gather to praise your name, to lift up the name of Jesus, to seek your direction, your guidance, your presence, even your protection throughout this day. Father, right now, as we humble ourselves before you, we pray for your touch on each of us. Help us to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. And this we pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, if you have as much hair as I do, you put your hat back on. Now, I'd like to read a psalm to you. It's from the 118th psalm. It starts off with, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." But you know, my friend wife, Joanne, had a part there that says, "Want to open it up? His love endures forever." You see, it's repeated throughout the psalm. So when I stop, point to her, she's going to hold that up. And you can recite that too, right? Want to give it a try? Hey, very good. Okay, here we go. "Give thanks to God, for he is good. His love endures forever." I'm going to change hands here. "Let Israel say, his endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. I was pushed back, about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted up. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. It is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine on us. You are my God, I will give you thanks. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Thank you. Now, Hank.
Thanks, Paul. Well, what I wanted to talk about this morning is, well, first I want to read a scripture. You know me, I like reading scriptures. If I can get it unfolded here. And this is out of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food. For we're not ready for it, not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly." Now, this was Paul talking to the church in Corinthians. And there was a lot of people there that were saved. And, you know, just like here, you know, most of us here this morning are saved. And just because we're saved doesn't mean that we know how to walk as Christians. And the Corinthian church, they were still, they just weren't developing into better Christians. I mean, it's just like anything, you know, when you become something, you try to get better at it. And they were still mere infants, he called them, because they just weren't showing any progress at all. So, how do we get progress? I mean, how do we grow in our spiritual walk? I mean, it all starts with first asking Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. But then once you've done that, how do we grow? How do we go further? And there are several ways. You know, one of them is by praying. Another one is by fellowshipping with other Christians like we do here. You know, that's a really good way to grow, because we always end up talking about Jesus and stuff, and we learn to grow. We read our Bible. But then there's another way, and that's the one we don't like. We also grow through trials. And I mean, there's none of us like to hear that one. I want to read a scripture out of James for that. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Now, how in the heck could you display joy while you're going through trials? I can't. I mean, I can't walk around with a smile on my face when everything is turned upside down and inside out. I don't think anybody really can and be truly honest. You know, I think it'd be one of them fake smiles. You know, you see a lot of Christians, and you really do, and this sounds horrible, but you know, they always have that smile on their face, and you know you ask them how they're doing. Oh, everything's great. You know it's not always great. There's times they're going through struggles. And I don't think that's what it's talking about. I don't think it means we're supposed to smile going through it. But the one thing that does develop while we're going through these trials, when you go to bed at night and you're praying or whatever your routine might be to go to bed, you say in a prayer and you're kicking back and you're getting nice and mellow, on the inside, you know you're going to win. And that's the kind of joy that it's talking about. You have a peace in your heart knowing that those trials will go away. And I want to read another scripture. You know, it says, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered." So we got to hang in there. We can't give up when we face trials. We got to keep pushing forward. And then it says, you know, "You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." So what does that tell us? Well, I don't know if any of you read the book of Job, but most of us have read it. And this guy goes from having everything to having nothing. Being sick, being miserable. And I mean, it wasn't just for a day or two. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. He lost everything. And now, he didn't understand why he was losing everything and why things were the way they were. Then his friends, the people that were supposed to build him up, heck, they were accusing him, saying, "Well, you're probably doing this and, you know, this and that." And they weren't even really helping to build him up. So things were pretty tough for him. I would say if you want an example for trials, that'd be a good book to read, because it don't get any worse than that. I don't think I've been anywhere near that. I hope none of us here have been through that. But it says right there at the end of what I read, "The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." In other words, here's the punchline. And this is a scripture a la my sister in Illinois, my little sister. You know that scripture where it says it came to pass? Well, that's what she says. She goes, "But the one thing about it didn't come to stay." And she told me that years ago, so that's scripture a la Simone Meyer, and I think it's pretty good. Just remember that when the trials come, it came to pass, it didn't come to stay. And if you look at it that way, really, it is a little bit easier to deal with, because you know there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and the light at the end of that tunnel, it is not a train, it is a light. So you can deal with it a lot better. And as an example, I just want to read what happened to Job. You know, when you go on and you read 42:12, chapter 42, verse 12 in Job, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so he died old and full of years. So in other words, it completely turned around, and everything got really awesome again for Job. And, you know, trials are meant to make us stronger. We're supposed to grow through them. And a lot of times we don't see what it produces in us. You know, sometimes it may just produce patience. Sometimes it may produce, like I said, nothing that we can physically see on our own. But the intent of being a Christian is to become like Jesus. And God will use whatever it takes to make us like Jesus. Now, those of us that aren't stubborn, that aren't hard-headed, and that follow Jesus easily, you might say, I really believe that those people don't have the trials as us hard-headed folks that want to do it our way. I have a real bad habit of wanting to do it my way, and because of that, I probably go through a few more trials than other people, because God's going, Heinz, go this way, and Heinz is going, but I thought we'd go that way. And it just doesn't work. So, here's a scripture that I want you all to remember out of this morning. And it's in 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So just like I said, you know, it says it right in this verse. It didn't come to stay. I mean, it came to pass. You know, you look at that very first part. You know, these have come, and then it says, these have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. You know, it's real easy to say you're a Christian when things are going good, when nothing's going wrong. And, hey, man, I believe in Jesus. Everything's so great. About that time, you lose your job, you lose your house, you lose the car, and somebody gets sick in the family, and all of a sudden it's like, God, where are you? What's going on? And when you go through that and you come out on the other side as a stronger Christian, that's what it's all about. That's what proves your faith. I mean, that's how you can prove your faith is real. And that's the kind of faith we need to hang on to. So the end result, like I said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now you for a little while you may have to suffer. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. Praise, glory, and honor. That's what it's supposed to produce. And that's what I want you to remember this morning. So the next time when you're going through trials, the next time you're suffering, instead of going, oh, why me? Why do I have to go through this? And why won't this go away? Why don't you just look at God and say, hey, God, what am I supposed to learn in this? Because if you ask him and you figure out what you're supposed to learn in it, your trial will go away a lot quicker. And that I can promise you. So let's pray. Our God and Father, none of us like trials. None of us like tribulations. They're hard on us. Most of them are self-inflicted because of the way we live. But some of them are things that you allow to happen in our lives to make us better Christians. You want us to have faith in you and trust in you. And without going through those trials, our faith can't get stronger a lot of times. And that allows us to witness to other people how real you are. Because when we see it through and we come out the other end with you right there, that's what makes it good. So Father, I ask that you strengthen each one of us in whatever trials we may be going through. Help us to remember that it's for your glory and that it will make us better Christians. Father, we just thank you for that. But I know there's a lot of people that don't even know you yet. And those people need to make that initial step to receive Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I ask that you touch their hearts today if they hear the call, that they might be brave enough and strong enough to answer that call. Because Christianity is not for sissies, as I heard one preacher say. Because there are a lot of things we go through that aren't easy. So, Father, I ask that you strengthen us that already know you and give the ones that don't know you the courage to step forward and receive Jesus as their Savior. We just thank you now. And as we get ready to race, Lord, let us have a beautiful day of racing. The sun's out, so that'll be awesome. Let the track be safe, Lord, and just let us have a good time. And as always, do it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.